This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Shake Them Ropes, Jeff Hawkins, Chris Novembrito, and founder of Shake Them Ropes here for a special guest run-in, Rob McCarron. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Jeff. Hello, Chris. Yeah, of course, I'm not going to miss this night. Are you kidding me? One of the biggest returns. I've been waiting for it for weeks, months, years even. Those last two won't make any sense because Jeff, Chris, Justin Roberts is... back. So hyped. In Chicago, no less, his hometown. What a moment.
Rob, your relationship with CM Punk, of course. You famously bet that he would never appear in a UFC ring unless you eat a hat, as I recall.
Yes, and I nailed it.
Yes, you nailed that one. But yes, on a weekend where we have to preview SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver, CM Punk. Well, you don't have to. Chris and I have to.
As we've predicted for years on Shake Them Ropes, literally, I'm back for this one reason, because the predictions have finally come true. Friday nights, 10 p.m., that is your wrestling history, your most must-see hour of TV, dating back to Vern Gagne running Friday nights at 10 o'clock on ABC. I mean, this is epic.
Chris, get your shit.
Is he doing the tribute to the 15-minute promo that Punk opened up the show with? Is that what's going on here? I want to make sure I'm following.
15-minute promo would be better than a 15-minute match we might get one day out of this. Listen, okay, big moment. I watched. I'm going to watch Rampage anyway, right? I mean, AEW TV is light years right now ahead of WWE TV as far as interest goes, as far as excitement goes, as far as, you know, blazing through an hour to 2 hours. I mean, it's great. CM Punk's promo tonight was an epic moment. It was fun. It was great. CM Punk 10 years ago was a great promo. I don't want anyone to get disappointed or get their hopes up too high, like CM Punk's going to come here and have epic matches. I mean, and that's not a negative necessarily. He wasn't great 7 years ago. He's probably not going to be that great now, which is fine. Chris Jericho, not that great in the ring anymore, but I still want to see him on television. And the stuff that CM Punk might be able to do here, like they started with Darby Allin. A little bit of a surprise to me. I know they were teasing it a little bit, but I thought after Wednesday, there was no chance in hell it wouldn't be MJF right out of the gate. But then I'm thinking back, it took Miro, 8 months to get into the groove he is in now? Because not everyone can come in and you want to do the best, hottest thing first. The best, hottest thing for AEW come Double or Nothing next year, maybe, is going to be MJF and CM Punk. Like, that's your main event deal there, is you got Kenny Omega and Hangman Page doing their thing in the months to come. You're going to have CM Punk and MJF. It's going to be great. I can't wait for the five labors of CM Punk. And number one on the list is Colt Cabana. You think that'll pop a rating? Holy shit.
You know, I mean, but we still have surprises coming in. That to me is what is exciting now. I mean,
what we still have is the fact that you guys distracted me from the main news of the night.
I was saying quite a lot. No, I apologize. Sorry, I am.
Why?
For that.
Why would you do this to me? Listen, I was worried about the guy. I don't know if he's sick. I don't know if he just had other arrangements. I like Dasha. Okay. But where is the answers on where Justin Roberts is? And no one was getting him. Sean Ross Sapp, why don't you break that story for once? God.
You know, it was early in Shake Them Ropes when NXT did that first house show in San Jose. And I drove up there and I was excited for it. And I've hated this build to SummerSlam and both NXT TakeOver. And I think AEW has gotten my excitement in wrestling again, because between Punk and Danielson, and I'm fairly certain Adam Cole isn't staying with WWE.
Oh, see, I'm 100% the opposite. I don't see there's any way Adam Cole leaves, but that's okay. Bryan Danielson is enough. You don't have to bring in Adam Cole, but you're right. I mean, just energy.
But hold on. Let me get the tiebreaker with Chris.
I will do what I never did before. I will let you speak. Yes.
Well, I tend to think Adam Cole is at least better than 50% chance to leave WWE. I think that he has sort of exhausted what he can do. The main roster, on the last episode, we talked about stars and them needing to build stars. But in the build to SummerSlam here, I at least have a sense now of who are the new stars that Vince is trying to build. Bianca Belair, Matt Riddle, Rick Boogs, who is surprisingly over with main roster audiences. And I don't necessarily know that Vince sees Adam Cole as part of that main roster formula. I think Vince wants a main roster that is populated with really big dudes. And Adam Cole is very good in the ring. He's a good promo, but he'll never be 6'2" or whatever that other spec was that Vince McMahon now wants.
He'll never be 5'10". He'll never be 5'10". And that's the big problem. You think you're going to put Adam Cole in the ring against Bobby Lashley and it's not going to be Vince McMahon trying to redo Zach Gowen? You can't have those two next to each other. So unless they're really smart about who he's in the ring with, but you look at the main champions and the championship contenders right now of Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns, it would look downright embarrassing to have Adam Cole next to him in Vince McMahon's mind. I'm not thinking it would be embarrassing. It might be a little awkward. It might be. But
I'm going to say Vince is actually kind of right on this, because like Adam Cole works primarily as a heel. So you can't have a 5'8" Nick Bockwinkle like heel going up against 6'4" babyface number one, 6'4" babyface number two, 6'4" babyface number three. It doesn't work.
The problem with Adam Cole is because you have Bryan Danielson, who's a little shorter than these guys. Adam Cole is skinnier and it works against him on television. He's not a thick, small guy like a Bryan Danielson was. Okay. And so, yeah, it works against him on television. But if I'm Adam Cole at the same time, I'm thinking I've been invested in WWE. They like me. They keep giving me a lot of this TV time. And I know it's NXT right now, but where do I have the better chance of one, living his dream, because his dream's always been WWE. It seems like that's pretty obvious. But where do I have the best chance of standing out, of being different, of getting in the top when AEW just brought in Bryan Danielson and CM? Well, maybe bringing in Bryan Danielson looks pretty likely. Just brought in CM Punk. You got Kenny Omega there. There's 10 people on screen at any one time on an AEW show, where WWE struggles to fill in 2 hours of their 3-hour show. Where do I have the best chance to maybe have that long-term success? And maybe I'm going for Vince McMahon not being around in a couple of years, whether he retires, whether something else happens, whether they sell. Maybe I'm sticking it out thinking 3 years from now, where do I have the best chance of making the most money and being happiest? And maybe that's WWE for him. I think it's 89.8% likely he stays in WWE throughout the next 3 years.
I'm not going to ask how you did that math.
You get Kurt Angle and he's got 33 1/3 chance. And then you have Smojo and he doesn't even know.
Right. But here's the thing about that. Everyone makes fun of the Scott Steiner promo, right? He was right. It worked. You watch the end result. He was right. I mean, he had a 33% chance of beating Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe had a 33% chance of beating him. I don't even remember who won that match. Did they even wrestle? Nobody knows. Like, this is the giant mystery. I think Scott Steiner disappeared from TV after that. And again, we are getting away from the main topic of the night. Let's understand that Justin Roberts came back. And listen, he hasn't gotten to do his North Carolina in like 2 weeks. What are we even doing? Adam Cole? You want to know who is excited about Adam Cole? Justin Roberts. And if they show up at the same time in the same place, explosion of the mind. Now, I don't want to get too much into it. I know it's the big story and all. I don't want to, you know,
yeah,
take
no,
over
the
show.
The internet's been really buzzing about this Cole Roberts thing all week.
I don't want to get over it. Like, I understand Justin Roberts is not for everybody, but he's for a lot of us. He speaks for us.
Yeah, no, there's a devoted niche audience that has been calling out for Justin Roberts' Dapper Dan sort of demeanor.
Listen, when John Moxley is coming to the ring, I'm thinking that's John Moxley. And you know what? Justin Roberts confirms that for me. And I don't see how anyone else could have a more important job.
Well, I think this is a great point, Rob, because for us at home, we on TV get the little placard thing.
No one's ever said, right. You know what, Rob? This is a great point.
Well, I just did, and I'm a person right. just like you. They get the little placard thing, and if I was on TV, I'd mm-hmm. have a placard thing. But live, like if you were in the United Center tonight seeing CM Punk, how would you know who that was? Because there's no signage.
Correct. No, I mean, they did the thing on the little not Titantron with CM Punk, you know, so that's how you do it.
That's a conceit.
But imagine if they didn't have the graphics, like you would have needed Justin Roberts. I mean, Kira Hogan's in the ring. How is anyone going to know? You have Daniel Garcia. Is that even his name? I'm pretty sure it's Garcia. I don't know the first name. I'll be honest about that. But Garcia's in the ring, and without Justin Roberts telling you, you would never know. I don't even think he got the graphic on TV. So, like, this guy has a very important job. Now, CM Punk's going to be on the show the next couple of weeks. He'll probably miss a few nights. That's fine. Justin Roberts needs to be there 100%. Now,
yeah, no, this guy's like a human placard. We need him. Yeah,
correct. We've gone a little bit too far because Justin Roberts wasn't selling the T-shirts tonight. It was CM Punk, and I'm pretty sure it is, like, 3 in the morning East Coast time right now, and Justin Roberts is probably in line to buy the CM Punk shirt. That line has been so long. So let's get CM Punk. He's back. He said he's going to be there night after night, which is super cool. I can't believe Sting has been on like every TV show for the last 9 months. That's crazy to me. AEW is giving people your folks from the past, your Stings, your Arn Andersons, building tradition to get the new guys over, Darby Allin, Brock Anderson. I mean, come on, Brock Anderson's going to be in a big match on AEW Dynamite. This guy was nowhere a couple of months ago. So you're getting the new people. You're getting the old people. Everyone's having a fun party time. I mean, they're doing an hour of television on a Friday night at 10 o'clock, and people are super excited about it. I mean, what world is this?
Rob, always a pleasure. You're welcome back anytime.
I'll leave on that note. Let's just say, John Cena, you're going to lose. Go away. Go away.
Rob, as always, open door policy for you on your own show here. Thank you for joining us.
Macy, you ready to go inside? Let's go. Bye, guys.
Bye. And this is Chris Novembrino's last show for encouraging Rob's madness and going along with.
I thought that was a really strong discourse. That was great.
Yeah, but overall, the last point there stands. I'm excited about AEW. I watched that Wednesday show and I loved it, Chris. I did. And I was watching. It was a hot show. The crowd was fired up from the beginning. 2.0 comes out, attacks Moxley and Kingston, cuts a promo, calls out Sting and Darby. Very first hour of Nitro vibes for me in a way, but even older school, because just that crowd was just so raucous. And then I tried to watch the WWE shows and it just felt so patterned and cloying and plotting, and
they feel like a time warp. At this point, they feel dated, and it happened relatively quickly, but they have been making the same product for 20 years. And now this product feels 20 years old. Like, Vince has tried to keep it in a time capsule where it feels ageless. But now that there's actual competition and you can compare the liveliness and the energy and the organic intensity mm-hmm. of Rampage to the absolutely sterile, even when someone's sort of organically over, like a Rick Boogs, it's at this like much lower, unintense, passive. If we don't get him, so what? But we kind of like him, so if you give us more of it, we'd be fine with that. That like there's a real beating heart to the AEW shows and the AEW fan base, and WWE is more like an iron lung.
You know, I'm going to call my shot here. There's only two things that WWE can do this weekend to win the weekend in any way. Doesn't matter how good the matches are. Doesn't matter. Brock or Dwayne have to come back on this show. And I'm sure he's made calls to both of them to ask, because he may not think AEW is competition. But whatever this...
No, he does. You watch these promos. Watch the way Cena is talking. Cena has... This wasn't an accident on the second SmackDown show. This is clearly a conversation that is happening in the back that Cena is bringing to the front.
Yes, and it sounds like Cena might be the guy telling him to wake up. That's the thing that's interesting to me. I don't know.
You know what? You know what this is? This is the Cena-Dean Ambrose thing. All over again. Remember when they were all... It was Stone Cold Steve Austin, Dean Ambrose scolding thing. But they also... They did an angle, I think it was Cena and Ambrose, where it was like, you're not really being a champion. You need to be more of, you know...
But
you need
to
be
a better... They do that a lot. They did that with Flair and Carlito, if you remember that whole thing, where it's like, what, you're leaving? You should be watching every match, blah, blah, blah. It's... All of that stuff is always in the world of WWE versus an actual... wake-up call. I was going to compare it more. If Cena is a guy back there telling Vince, hey, you're losing the grip of culture right now, that's more Nash and Hall talking to Vince and saying, hey, look, this stuff, you know, back, you know, before the curtain call and things like that, you know, where hey, the big guys aren't around. You got to put the belt on Sean or something like that. You know, that kind of thing back in the early to mid 90s kind of thing before they made the jump, kind of like that. But you watch the Vegas, pictures coming out of the Vegas tryouts, and they're all just giant jacked up dudes. And you don't see him making, that's why I think Cole sees the writing on the wall. I think he's a bright enough guy.
I was surprised by the extremely high percentage there. I think he's just toying. The convo moved on, but I just want to get this in since it came back up again. I could understand why Cole agrees to stay an additional 12 months or something short term, just because AEW is so chock full of people debuting right now. And Cole, when he comes in, needs to make sure he doesn't get stuck in like mid-card hell, like an Ethan Page or something like that. Cole needs to come in and be a big deal, and he needs to come in and get a main event push. And so like timing's got to be right for a guy like that. But I mean, he has to see the writing on the wall. He has to get out of there sooner rather than later.
We have other news that we'll go over, and we'll also do a SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver previews. Big weekend for WWE. Don't see how they win the weekend, but I, for one, I'm excited about wrestling. I'm excited about somebody taking it to Vince.
Are we still talking Dynamite?
We can talk Dynamite.
I'll just.
This is our show. We can do what we want.
Yeah. We were already there. I mean, yeah. I basically concurred with you that like this show was rip roaring right up until the. It was a hoot. I got all my superlatives in here. I gave it 10 stars. I loved it. I did enjoy it. I don't like that the Jurassic Express are once again having to deal with this whole like, oh, we're chasing after the Young Bucks. They should have just beat the Young Bucks on this show. I like this extra beat to get to the steel cage match.
I don't like that. Just have the non-player character, powers that be, executive committee, whatever you want to call it. Hey, we're tired of this.
We're moving this steel cage match.
Yeah, we're tired of this crap with the Elite. Put it in a steel cage so nobody can get in and out. They are the number one contenders because of all the crap that's gone on. Don't, because if they end up going with the Lucha Brothers for any reason.
How many times can Jungle Boy come up short? Jungle Boy needs to win belts. Jungle Boy is a star of the future, and like there's no value added in this chase. I groaned.
There's no value. Hold on, I will amend your statement because it's very good. There's no value added to this chase if he loses this time.
No, especially on that front. Remember, Jungle Boy never even beat Jericho. He just went the distance. Mm-hmm. Orange Cassidy actually beat Jericho, you know, like however you feel about that angle. This is a guy who really does need to be built up, and he's ready to go. This guy's the star of the future. And don't get me wrong. I don't want to oversell the fear, uncertainty, doubt sort of thing here, because you've got like Danielson and CM Punk and other
people.
You're
putting in fun with the AEW stuff, bringing the stock talk from before the show.
That's for you. That's to pop the back of the curtain. Yeah, back of the house. But yeah, so like, I think the Jungle Boy ultimately is fine, but I think that this is moving into the thing I hate about WWE with the endless rematches. How many more unique spots do the Bucks and the Jurassic Express have to give us? Or are we just basically going to see more of the same, only this time inside of a steel cage?
Agreed.
Other than that, the show, real fun. Thunder Rosa, good little build-up match against Penelope Ford. And then we got to the main event. This just missed me. I don't like Chris Jericho. When I say this, like I respect his career. Chris Jericho for me at this point is a person I cannot cheer for and do not enjoy cheering for. I feel like I can tolerate them in a heel status because I already don't like them.
Let me clarify though for people who are listening right now, because I know why. It's because of the out of ring stuff. It's not because of the in ring stuff necessarily.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. No. It's along similar lines as like Alberto Del Rio or Hulk Hogan or something like that. That there have been enough outside of the ring things that rub me the wrong way that I am not able to cheer for the person, let alone let my mental whatevers go away so that I can join into a sing-along with Chris Jericho. That was just way too big. It would be like if Hogan came out there and like we all had to go, when it comes crashing down and it hurts and stuff. Like, I'm not doing that with you. I will not be a part of that with you. We're not singing that. Y'all can sing that. That's not for me.
Rob just texted me. Still got it.
Oh yeah, no, it was a strong outing.
It was a very strong outing. Let's do a little news here. Most of it's WWE related anyway, so that'll get us in a natural flow for whatever the hell this weekend's gonna be. It's everything's gonna be second place to CM Punk. That was an awesome promo. That promo was everything it had to be.
Yeah, no, it was great. Him talking with Darby wouldn't have done anything. It was fine for him to just address Darby. I mean, it was perfect. If I was reformatting that Rampage show, we give Punk 20 to 25 minutes. We don't have the Jade Cargill. Yeah, I thought that did her no favors, right. Kira Hogan. And frankly, I think that like that cut into the time for Moxley and Daniel Garcia and did Garcia no favors, who is someone that clearly and rightly the company is interested in building and developing and moving up the card and showcasing. It's not an accident that Daniel Garcia is in the main event. You've been seeing a lot of him on the TV recently. He's good. And I think he needed 15 minutes with Moxley, not eight, a tight eight.
Yeah. Starting off the news business deal for WWE, The Ringer, Bill Simmons, little outlet over there, and Spotify are going to be doing new podcasts from Ringer and WWE, including a show from Evan Mack of the Bump called Mack Mania, and a narrative series produced by Bill Simmons. Kids, if you like your Peter Rosenbergs, if you like your non-critical WWE is so great, this was really awesome, and this was really great, and this was really awesome. There are people not in WWE who do those types of podcasts, but this is just going to be simping I think all these things are going to be simping Bill Simmons, and who I've never been the biggest fan of, especially when it comes to wrestling. And, you know, Schumacher's okay, or Shoemaker, however he pronounces it. But it's always kind of a weird Cliff Notes version of history that Shoemaker always has. It's never gone terribly in depth. It's very, let's put it this way, as Shake Them Ropes is to the Voices of Wrestling family, as is Shoemaker's wrestling history to normal historians. We are, Chris, you're giving me a dirty look, but what I mean by that is
we're askew of the network, is what you're saying.
We are accessible to the casual audience, let's put it that way, as opposed to, say, the flagship, which is going to go over a third tier doing shows in the back of a meat market Japanese promotion that anybody watched. You know, I don't know. Simmons is doing that Vince McMahon series that I think is just going to be garbage, as the French would say. I'm not down with this. I will be taking a hard path, but if you people like it, if you like your bring it to the tables in audio form, those types of things, your Sam Roberts hard-hitting interviews, you're going to get more of that, and it's going to dominate this cultural landscape in the ringer.
Yeah, I have little to no use of this for this. Cause I like, for me, if I guess we make the type of show that I would be interested in watching, which is something that actually breaks this stuff down in, you know, a less fanny sort of way, in a more like this is a TV show sort of way.
Yes.
So when these guys talk about even some of these angles and stuff, they don't have the conversation about, is this working? Is this not working? Why isn't this working? Why is, you know, they don't ever get into the topics that I would still find interesting when we're talking about wrestling commentary.
Well, WWE settled, this will be one to tee up for you. WWE settled 8 lawsuits this week concerning disclosures about their relationship with Saudi Arabia. Once you got that one, it looked like it was a domino effect type of thing. Oh, by the way, Chris, I don't know if you realize this, they're going back to Saudi Arabia October 21st, 2021, baby. Get those lawsuits ready. Get your make sure you have your own separate flights ready. To me, they were afraid of discovery. I think that's a pretty prescient talking point that's been going around. They were afraid of digging in because there was at least one superstar on that plane who was willing to talk, and they didn't want that to happen. So insurance pays for these settlements. It will not come out of WWE's bottom line. Any thoughts about that, Chris?
I mean, that tarmac incident, which I believe for many felt akin to a hostage situation, at least from the extemporaneous reporting at the time, was really harrowing. And this company's continued relationship with Saudi Arabia is going to be good for their bottom line. But I think it's going to be one more thing that AEW is going to be able to beat them up over. And it's going to be one more thing that, you know, I just kind of keeps them a little bit out of step here. I don't see them actually really leaning into the world part of World Wrestling Entertainment to make up those losses. This is ultimately an American television show that gets syndicated around the world, regardless of how much you push Mansoor in the mid-card.
Well, NXT is returning to taping shows in advance starting next Monday and Tuesday nights, but there's a reason for this. It's not quality control necessarily. WWE has done its last show at Full Sail. They'll be converting the Performance Center into their new broadcast, and that will be the home of NXT from here on out. Previously, they were thought to be going out on tour, but it looks like all shows will now disseminate from the Performance Center.
That's interesting. I think WWE maybe is thinking about hedging their bets here a little bit. I think that,
yeah,
Yeah, I think that they are seeing the writing on the walls with where things are going right now with COVID, and they realize, and I'm sure AEW is already in contact with Daily's Place here as well, that they need to have a plan in case that they have to, you know, start running back on a home base situation.
Well, the rumor is they're going to be moving away from the darkness of what they currently have, and that there's going to be a lot of lights, and it's going to be very bright. It's going to be very, very WWE main roster, I think, in terms of the setup at the Performance Center. It's going to be, I think they're making a shift tonally to be more, this is what it's going to be like when you're actually on the main roster for anybody who's there who might be planning out for the younger guys type of thing. I don't know. I also think they're kind of hedging their bets on whether or not they keep NXT open. I got to be honest with you. I think
that's another thing too. I think that this gives them the ability to shut it down much easier if they need to shut it down or move it back to a not on TV thing.
Yeah, I think they will train. I don't think that they will be on TV necessarily. And I don't know what happens to the guys who are down there. If that happens, I don't know anything. It's not, there's nothing business wise saying that to me, but there's something irking me about all this. But nevertheless, Molly Holly and Sean Devary are now producers with WWE Backstage. Interesting enough. I didn't think Molly Holly would ever come back, but we'll see how they do. Sean Devary is an interesting one because he's been training. He and Mr. Kennedy were running a school for a while, but they just fired his brother. So I'm always kind of interested in the Devary brothers and the revolving door of WWE.
Yeah, I know. It's weird what they will let bygones be bygones over, too, because the Devary brothers have not had a great relationship with this company.
2.0 officially signed with AEW. Could not be happier. They were great tonight, too. Just, they are the perfect knuckleheads. And hopefully they build on that and they don't remain that. Like, you get some good feuds. Like, I would love to see 2.0 and Jack Evans interact. I don't know why. I know why. It's because Jack Evans is a great person. But there's plenty of feuds in there to do. 2.0 and FTR, I'm all about that, man. There's a lot of great tag teams they can work with here. I am glad that they're being able to show what they can do and live off of their own merits and their reputation of being just hard workers throughout the years, as opposed to how they are put in the box in the WWE. That's also why I'm very excited about this quote unquote war. And I want to see Vince lose. I want to see Vince lose a lot, quite frankly, not because I don't like the guys working for him, or not because I want to see people lose their jobs. I don't want them to be destroyed. I just want to see them get punched in the mouth really well.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
But yes, yeah. 2.0 was signed. Sorry about that.
No, I'm thrilled that 2.0 was signed. I think they had a banner week as well. I think their pairing with Daniel Garcia is, you know, it's a strong, they are a great foil for Daniel Garcia. He's the legitimacy and they're kind of the boobs. And it works interesting with the young kid being the serious one and the two older guys being the knuckleheads.
Yeah. And to kind of wrap up the news, New Japan had a show here in the States last Saturday after we went here in LA. I did not go. I am still, I'm still not ready to be amongst crowds just yet for my own personal, thing, but Will Ospreay is in the States. And also, and so the open door may be there for him to be on a Dynamite or a, let's say, some show in Chicago in a few weeks. But in addition, New Japan also has a touring brand and they're doing shows in the States, et cetera, et cetera. Also in the States currently, Minoru Suzuki, who is going to be doing 4 shows for Joey Janela's Game Changer Wrestling. 2 of them here in Los Angeles, 1 in Queens, New York, and the other 1 in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So we got some New Japan talent floating around here, Chris. Any interest in that? Jay White's also here in the States, by the way, currently, too. You're thinking about it. I don't understand.
Yeah, that. No, I'm just trying to think if there's any New Japan talents that I feel like urgently need to be in AEW right now. And I think that they just...
Ishii would be great here. I mean, he's in the States.
Yeah, oh, and, well, Ishii'd, who's it who wanted to feud with him? Isn't Jonah, the former American champion?
Jonah Rock?
Yeah.
AKA, man, I can't remember his WWE name all of a sudden.
Bronson Reed,
thank you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that that's where Ishii goes, or that's certainly what Jonah Rock is angling for. I'm in for that match. I still respect, obviously, New Japan, broadly speaking, but, like, it's not... AEW is a hotter company than New Japan is
right now. I don't understand why they want to still build in the States. I didn't understand that before. When AEW wasn't here and they were originally planning to do it,
Made perfect sense, but now it doesn't. And trying to build in the States right now when they need to like build at home, like, you know, it's like, you know, going overseas when you need to address abroad.
They still have an issue with COVID over in Japan, New Japan. It's pretty bad over there. It's a little baffling, to be honest with you, because New Japan's always been kind of smart about business. But this thing, this was a Harold Meyer idea, I believe, and he's gone now. Why are they? I mean, the dojo's fine. It's just weird to try and have a touring brand when it doesn't seem like it's that hot of a brand.
No. And now that you mentioned that, I'm not going to lie. I had a bit of a gasping moment when I saw CM Punk just dive into a crowd of people. that is not something that old Chris is going to be down to do for at least another 12 months, probably.
Yeah, so let's do the previews for the other two cards this weekend in order and then get out of here, Chris. How about that?
That's fine.
Starting off with at Allegiant Stadium, Saturday night pay-per-view. Kind of shocking for the main roster. SummerSlam. Do you have the lineup in front of you by chance?
I don't.
Okay, well then I will get it right here. Here we go. 10-match card. Going to be a big stadium show. I'm sure they're going to, this will be kind of their WrestleMania because it's in front of a full house, I believe, in Las Vegas. We will start with a tag team match for the WWE Raw Tag Team Championship. AJ Styles and Omos versus, I guess, the reunited RK-Bro, Randy Orton, and Riddle.
Yeah, you were much more convinced that they were donezo than I was last week. I did believe that there is a chance that they would back up and go like...
There's still money to be made. There's still blood to be squeezed.
And now that you've established that Riddle is really oblivious, you can essentially keep pulling it back indefinitely. And it'll be at least two or three more times before Riddle doesn't, like, finally puts it together. So, I mean... This angle is good. They're money. People like Matt Riddle. People like Randy Orton. And when I'm thinking about who are the stars for this company for 2021-2022, Matt Riddle's clearly part of it. And so I've got Riddle and Randy Orton winning the titles here off of Omos and AJ Styles.
This is the comedy. Can they coexist? And it's going to be something where Riddle screws up every week and Randy just keeps on RKOing him. I think that's the way to go here, right?
Yeah, right. Like the RKO will be like a punchline, like a pie in the face. It's not good. The mistake was thinking that it means the same thing as it always does. And no, in this case, it will literally just be like the rake hit his face again. He always falls for that one.
A main event in any arena, as they used to say. Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie with Doudrop. 5-star classic incoming on that one. In a singles match, Chris, you have stood up. I assume you're going to get something. What are your feelings?
No, I choose to do certain things off camera, Hawkins.
Oh, well, I thought there was a prop comic or something coming.
No, that'd be good. No, I was going to get my doll, actually. I have Canny here. Canny speaks to me.
I will make the first call on this one. Alexa Bliss wins and Doudrop ends up leaving with Alexa Bliss.
What's that, Canny? What is that? You think that Alexa Bliss has placed the hex on Doudrop and that Doudrop's going to betray Eva Marie and that's like what's going to help Alexa Bliss win the match? Wow. Canny watches Canny. A lot of... Yeah, Canny. Uncanny. Canny.
No, I was originally going to make Canny more of a part of this, and now you just put the dad joke in there, and Canny is dead to me. Recycled, if you will. Drew McIntyre. Moving on. Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal. Veer and Shanky are banned from ringside, which means they're coming to ringside at some point. Chris, do we see somebody get impaled on a sword? Please tell me yes.
I don't understand why this isn't a Punjabi prison match.
Drew McIntyre by murder death. Do we both agree on that?
Yeah, no, Drew McIntyre okay. wins this. He probably beats a Veer and Shanky too. Canny agrees.
In an interesting match, and I didn't realize this guy was the U.S. champ still, Sheamus versus Damian Priest. You know what? That could be a nice little 7-minute sprint between two big guys who can move, or it could just be plotting and stupid, but I'm going to go with the former. I think Damian Priest, they belt him finally. I think it's time.
I know we're boring here today. I think that I agree. I think this match sneakily over delivers it perhaps in a short amount of time, but it's like good and stiff. And you're like, all right, that was fun. And I think Damian Priest is a guy who is part of what's the future for WWE. Who are these future stars that they're at least going to try their hand with? Damian Priest is going to be one of them. And I think Damian Priest is going to succeed.
I like him. I think
the fans will really like him. I think the fans like him. They like Rick Boogs. Their audience really into those characters.
Yeah. Their audience. Yeah. And
Matt Riddle, same thing.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like those types of characters. Ah, boy. What next? What should I pick next here? Oh, let's get the women's matches out of the way. Nikki, almost a superhero, your champion, in what has just been an epic build for your champion.
She's just a compelling character who I love a little bit more every week. I find Nikki A.S.H. to be relatable. Her story is my story. I am almost a guitar player, and if I really put my mind to it, I might almost play a song one day and then almost get booked for a gig.
You know, there's no greater build to a championship match than watching your champ get their butt kicked week after week. But anyways, Nikki A.S.H. versus Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley in a triple threat for the WWE Raw Women's Championship.
Nikki A.S.H. wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wins. She wins this match.
The person who looks the worst in the feud usually wins, and you got to go with WWE logic there. So, yes, I think
think there's recalcitrance here. I think that WWE is going to try to make this thing work for at least one more month, at least 4 to 6 weeks more. They may pull the ripcord on this very soon, but... they are not going to admit defeat on this Nikki A.S.H. character just yet. She's got to at least win something so that they can say that they told the story and then move on from it. So she's got to get this SummerSlam win.
Do the other women's match, Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks. I think it's been a nice run for Bianca. I don't know. I don't know, though. I haven't convinced myself that Sasha's winning this thing because... Sasha's just a megastar. She's the one bringing in the ratings on this show. SmackDown is always up when Sasha Banks is announced, and I think that's just too compelling to not put the belt on her week after week. I don't know where you go for Bianca from here. Everybody's
it would be a terrible mistake.
It'd be a mistake.
No, the mistake, especially after we looked at, you know, the merchandise side of things, is bringing back Sasha and not having her be Bianca's friend, because you need to move Bianca merch and Sasha merch. And in order to do that, it helps to have them both faced. I don't think that this faction helps Sasha a whole lot. I'm not actually really particularly enamored by the synergy or lack thereof of Carmella and the other one, what's her name? Zelina. Yeah.
Zelina Vega. Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking. I mean, do you move Bianca to just feud with them? I you know, if you put the belt on Sasha Banks, you might be able to pull out Liv Morgan out of the dustbin of history. Or, you know, who's on SmackDown who debuted and you haven't seen in 3 weeks now? Toni Storm. Maybe Toni Storm and Bianca's the way. Okay, I'm changing my mind. It's Bianca Belair, and then they're going to go with Toni Storm feud next. That seems the most logical to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, oh, God. I had in my head, too, that they're. Oh, they might bring up what's her name, too, from NXT.
Indy Hartwell's on her way to the main roster.
Indy Hartwell, but also the champion.
Oh, Raquel Gonzalez.
Raquel, and then Raquel comes up as a heel, and like you know, there's your challenger for okay. Bianca as well. So I think Bianca that. Retains.
All right, there. I was wrong. I was saying there was nobody. There are no bullets in the gun, but apparently, I guess we have Toni Storm, we have Raquel Gonzalez. We can always put in there. I mean, if you put the belt on Sasha, though, you can always go with either of Tegan Nox or Shotzi Blackheart in there too. But they're in the middle of this feud.
Who's Tegan Nox?
She got her first name back. She got her first name. Yeah, she did.
I'm a Knox fan. You're I don't Knox. Know who. Yeah, I'm a Knox fan.
Edge versus Seth Rollins. A feud with black goo.
That was a bloodening. I'm sorry. That was a bloodening.
No, it wasn't.
It was a very dark bloodening. Sometimes blood gets it gets bad. Yeah, you ever seen bad blood?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And
wasn't that a pay-per-view at one time?
Yeah, it was on in 1998, and the Brood were featured on it. And it was great because we got to hear the music again for the first time, and there are children in that audience who are younger by a substantial margin than that music, and they've never heard that theme before in their life.
You know, it wasn't a bad drop crap from the sky type of thing. It was much better than, say, oh, when the Inner Circle had orange juice dropped on them and they had to pretend like.
when the proud and the powerful were neither proud nor powerful, yes, as they were flailing inside of orange juice.
So it's not, look, I make fun of these things, but people love them. People love those types of things. So who wins?
I would have actually dug if there had been a Gangrel cameo for this, though, that like Edge had actually reached out to Gangrel. And because the whole twist to Brood Edge, it feels really unearned. This was so sudden. This was so gimmicky. It would have been nice to build up to this a little bit more.
I don't need him to be the Brood Edge, though. I want him to be just an evil old man who's angry that he kicked in the head. Can we do that? Actually, you know what? I want a backstage clip of Vince going, well, we got Gangrel. Can we get Christian?
He can come back, but only if we can put the dot over his face.
Yes, put that blue dot over that ugly bastard's face. What a moron. Oh, and what is the most dramatic feud in the WWE? The pinnacle of community theater. The Usos, Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso taking on. Hey, Chris, did you know their father and son, Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio? Son, tonight in my match, I want you to pay attention to me because they want
Dominic as your father, I need you to watch this match as my son.
Have you two ever met? Do you all know each other? Every week it's this son as your father. I am going out there to fight for our family's honor. Please, please watch my back, son of mine. Product of my loins. How many times can we say father? What?
Son, as my son, I need you to go out there tonight
and be my son. do they hot potato the titles back to the Mysterio boys?
I think that the Mysterios come up short and Dominic rages out on Rey. I think this is the beginning of like a Dominic and Rey feud.
God, please do. Oh, and by the way, speaking of sons and fathers, just to circle back to AEW for a second. Old Brock Anderson's going to get killed on Wednesday night. And it's going
to be. That was such a fun promo.
It's going to be glorious. But for me, what I really, really want. I want it to be the seeds of the turn of Brock Anderson into an actual Anderson. Like, Dad, you threw me to the wolves 2 years ago. This is why I'm like this. I want that payoff later down the road. But yes, it was a glorious, yes, you are going to die, Brock Anderson, and I am going to enjoy every moment of it. And now, Chris, I think we can do these two together because they are the same program. Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman versus John Cena and Bobby Lashley with MVP versus Goldberg. Do either of the old men in this feud win with a title or go home with a title? That's the question here. And I'm starting to lean with one of them being yes. I am. And I think it's because of the news story I brought up earlier. I think one of these guys is going to be champion going into Saudi Arabia because Saudi Arabia needs something. And then they're going to give up the title at Saudi Arabia. It's very easy to do that if you put the belt on one of them. And I think it's going to be John Cena. I think they're going to want to put this title. They want to give Cena the 17. Ric Flair's not there to celebrate, but Ric Flair was at Triple Mania this weekend. And you know, that could have made some people too happy. So they're going to stick it to the old man and they're going to give John Cena, they're going to get him over the hump here and he's going to be champion. And I think he's probably going to Saudi Arabia because the money's just too good. And he's going to lose the title there back to Roman Reigns. I don't see Goldberg winning this in any way at all, but I look forward to the Hook versus Gage Goldberg feud in 2029.
Yeah. So Gage Goldberg, is certainly intriguing in a like mid to longer term thing. Like the guy's like 16 and he's already, I mean, the kid's got huge.
He's big.
Yeah, he's big. So yeah, there's some intrigue there for me on that. This is a great kind of debut or like a second beat in his little story to the ring here. I don't think that Bill Goldberg beats Bobby Lashley. I think that match is kind of a stinker. And I am also of the opinion that John Cena might very well win this match here on Saturday and become the WWE champion. I think the big move, you mentioned earlier the two things that Vince could do to try to like counter-program AEW right now, The Rock and or Brock Lesnar. I think The Rock would help. I'm not sure Brock Lesnar would, but I will throw in a third option here that you're probably not as enamored with, which would be turning John Cena heel and making him champion. Cena has been delivering great promos. He's a guy who can actually meaningfully fill a quarter hour. And so long as they're not overexposing this guy like Chris Jericho on the other show and having him in like way too many segs, so long as Cena comes out and does his one seg, especially if it's only every other week or every 3 weeks, and you have maybe a Paul Heyman or someone as a mouthpiece for John Cena, I think that actually gives this show a shot in the arm. In a way where the Roman story has sort of written itself into a cul-de-sac. I think people are interested in seeing what a heel Cena character would look like. I think that heel Cena might actually get really good nuclear heat, like the broken hearts of the kids and stuff. Have Cena burn his neon shirt and his jorts. Just shoot the crying children as Cena's burning, the old stuff there. I think that gets people talking about this product and it creates a counter programming to CM Punk. They can't keep going in this pattern.
Go ahead. Sorry.
They just cannot keep going full speed ahead. Even as nice as building Bianca, as nice as building Damian Priest, as nice as building Matt Riddle's, Rick Boogs, any of these new good solid mid card to upper mid carders here over the next year is, they need something that is a real shot in the arm, that is a real paradigm sort of shift here. And John Cena really does feel like one of the big links to that yesteryear era that really tethers this company to that. Now, the odds of all of this happening are very low. But as WWE continues to lose in the rating war, I just want to paint a picture of some of the moves that they could do to actually change this. And SummerSlam is the last and best time in this calendar year to do that.
I think the only way you can pull off that turn is if afterwards you do something like I like the idea of John Cena kind of going full Peacemaker, since he's getting a lot of rave reviews for that role in the Suicide Squad, and saying he will do anything for the WWE, because Vince would eat that up. Vince would eat up that kind of an angle where, you know, he can put over his company as being something to love. And so so if Cena would come out and go, you know, you were doing this for family, but Heyman knows this and I know this. I love WWE more than any person around. And Paul Heyman loves this business too. And he loves WWE. He needs WWE to stay employed, blah, 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 blah. You just cared about your family this entire time. And so that's the only way I could see possibly turning Roman. I don't see how you turn the Usos with him given things, but maybe you do, or the Usos serve Cena, but the chances of that happening are slim and none. Let's put it that way. Cena ain't turning heel in this feud just yet. He might win the title and turn feud, but he won't turn heel during this match. Chris, you're frozen and have your mute on. So I will continue until Chris gets back. Goldberg and Bobby Lashley needs to be short. The problem with the thing about okay, Chris dropped for those of you watching, so I will stall here a little bit for time while he comes back. The thing about Goldberg and Bobby Lashley to me is that Goldberg has been getting winded in his matches, you know, consecutively as he's come back more and more. That first thing with Brock was great, but after that, it's just been kind of watching and watching and watching. The key to this, you know, there's a chance I could see him coming out of this with this title and also losing it in Saudi Arabia and Cena not and just going away. But the shorter this is, the better it's going to be both for Bill Goldberg and for Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley gets blown up too. He's not as young as we'd like to think he is as well. As they say, those muscles take up a lot of oxygen. If this thing goes more than 5 minutes, they're both in trouble because this crowd could turn on it at any time. I just think Bill gets that first spear. He gets the hope spot. And Lashley just destroys him and then puts on the full Nelson and gets the bell. So, I mean, that's about all there is to it.
Chris, and I'm back.
And you're back.
My computer crashed. But it just went black into the darkness, and it was hard. But I'm back.
It's all right. I'll edit it in post. I'll just snip these two things. So I just basically said that Goldberg and Bobby Lashley cannot last more than 5 minutes, or the crowd might turn on it, and both guys might get winded.
Yeah, I just don't think that. Either of the guys really have a deep enough match to do anything longer than 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think that Goldberg should come in, go hard and heavy on Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley kicks out at two after Goldberg lays out a bunch of offense. I think Bobby Lashley should win with a spear and a jackhammer on Goldberg.
That'll do it for SummerSlam. Going to the, oddly enough, the NXT is kind of main eventing on Sunday. So we'll go to that. Six matches, five on the main card, one as a pre-show. Pre-show match, pretty easy to determine. Trey Baxter coming out of the the NXT prospects tournament. Gonna be fed to Ridge Holland in a singles match. Chris, any disagreement with Ridge Holland murder deathing him?
No, Ridge Holland is the guy they're building. Trey Baxter is a guy. And Ridge Holland fits the new edict of people they like. And this is a guy that they have not actually really kicked the tires on. We've always liked Luke Menzies. We liked Rick Bugenhausen when he was still Rick Bugenhausen. Mm-hmm. Like, these are guys that have the look that Vince likes. And Luke Menzies, Ridge Holland, is going to win this match easy.
Singles match for the $1 million championship, LA Knight versus Cameron Grimes with Ted DiBiase. If Grimes loses, DiBiase must become Knight's butler. Do we get the happy ending or no?
Happy ending. Cameron Grimes is winning this. I think that the LA Knight thing has sort of run its course too. I think they will do something else with LA Knight, but he's not a workhorse champion like this.
But I will amend this. I think Grimes wins by DQ or something. And so LA Knight keeps the title, but Cameron Grimes, you know, and frees DiBiase in a way. Although the celebration that's needed here is Cameron Grimes and Ted DiBiase like throwing a bunch of money in the air and laughing. So, you know what? I'm gonna change my mind. Cameron Grimes wins the $1 million title, and DiBiase, you know, helps him. I did think for a moment maybe before I watched that the end of their interplay on Wednesday, I thought for a second DiBiase would turn heel on Grimes and go with Knight. Because it just feels like you don't want happy Ted DiBiase. You want evil Ted DiBiase.
They're just not really interested in delivering evil Ted DiBiase. I'm with you. I think that evil Ted DiBiase is where all the money's at. But I just don't think that that's what they're thinking right now.
For the NXT Women's Championship, Raquel Gonzalez versus Dakota Kai in what is a very interesting match. Number one, Dakota Kai. Y'all know I love her. She is the workhorse of this division and has been for the last 3 to 4 years. It's ever since the horse women left. You know, you have Io Shirai in there, but I don't know, because I don't know if they're going to give her the run here, because I don't know if they're going to bring up Raquel Gonzalez. You have people you can bring in to fight with Raquel Gonzalez. You have, I think, Kaylee Ray is now in the States, and I think she's going to be on NXT very, very soon. So you have her to feud with if you want. Can I bring myself for Dakota Kai as the women's champion? I'm going to say yes, because I'm going to say Vince is going to want all hands on deck and he's going to want more new toys to play with after SummerSlam. So I think Dakota Kai wins it, because Raquel's going to be on her way to the main roster along with Indy Hartwell.
I agree. I think that Raquel Gonzalez is losing the belt here. I think Dakota Kai is your interim champion so that they can build up whoever they want their next baby face to be.
I don't get this. Walter, your NXT UK champion against Ilya Dragunov. And what has been a baffling build for Ilya Dragunov, losing to Pete Dunne. I did enjoy the hard way blood on Wednesday. I think he should have kept it when he was screaming for Walter as opposed to making him clean it off for TV, but I understand that. And then Walter destroys him at the end of the night. Walter is their best champion. Right now, Walter, I'm still under the impression he has no interest in going to the main roster and touring with them, because I think he wants to stay in the UK area and live in Germany or Austria or wherever he lives. Chris, does Ilya Dragunov win this title off of Walter?
I think that there is a very high likelihood that Ilya Dragunov ends up beating Walter here in this main event. I don't necessarily think that they want to do more stuff with Walter. I think, like, they got to this point with Walter where it's like, you made him a champion, you gave him a lot of longevity, but Imperium's not a faction that they're ever bringing to the main roster. Right. It doesn't even necessarily seem like Imperium, they're not really that interested in NXT, so like they're not going to worry about visas and all that stuff to bring Imperium over to NXT as like some sort of main faction. They already did the Imperium War Games with the Undisputed Era. They've right. really ran the course with this team, and they can dither Imperium down to just the other two guys, Bartel and Eichner, if they need to.
Yeah, I think it's time for Walter to give up the title for a little bit and just make it interesting in NXT UK. I mean, I love the dominant champion storyline. He is the most dominant champion, but you got nobody other than, I mean, you got Coffee and Rampage Brown kind of fighting for that number one contender spot, and that's about it. You need something to freshen up this roster. So I think Ilya Dragunov, I think maybe they may have talked Walter into a main roster run. They may have. We'll see. I don't know yet.
On the last episode, I made what I felt was a fairly strong case for why, if I were Vince, and even if I were Walter, I would at least be exploring getting some sort of deal done. So, you know, maybe they did talk Walter into a main roster run. If they did, given who we last episode was all about how they don't have any stars, Boogs, Damian Priest, Matt Riddle, Walter, like, that's Randy Orton. That is sort of the makings of a nucleus on the Roman Reigns, the makings of a nucleus on this main roster that I think will actually intrigue their audiences, but even, you know, potentially have some intrigue for the disgruntled fans.
Karrion Kross, maybe with Scarlett, maybe not, defends the NXT title against one Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah, this is happening this weekend. Samoa Joe's coming back for the first time in, like, nearly 2 years, and it really feels like an absolute afterthought.
yeah, it does.
Boy, I think they keep the belt on Cross. I think that...
Even though he's on Raw?
Yes, I think the whole gimmick's going to be that, like, he is the NXT champion on Raw going forward here.
Okay. I don't know. I also thought that Samoa Joe might lose and then get cut, but it appears he is being transitioned into management of some kind because he was involved with the Las Vegas tryouts this weekend as a quote unquote scout slash coach.
The go home segment on NXT was everything that was wrong with Karrion Kross in a nutshell.
Yes.
You have Karrion Kross come out. He talks way too much. And it's like whiny, petulant, weak talk when he's supposed to be this dominant champion. And the whole reason you had him go up against those four other dudes at the last pay-per-view was to show how dominant he was that, like, these four elite guys couldn't even touch him. But now he's coming out and he's struggling against Samoa Joe, a guy who hasn't been in the ring in 18 months. And this week, inexplicably, he somehow has established a strong enough rapport with the management of NXT again that he has access to security, who he brings out to... Remember, he choked out William Regal here a few weeks ago. So I'm like imagining this conversation with Cross and Regal where he's like, hey, man, you know, I got to deal with Samoa Joe later tonight. I was thinking maybe a little security. Regal's like, really? And Cross is like, yeah, really? And Regal's like, really? You're really? And Cross is like, yeah. And Regal just sides the paper and does it. So now Cross is out there. He's got security with him. The dominant champion needs the extra NPCs who don't even go in the ring and who will have, like, the added weight of 0.4.
Yeah.
And he stands behind the wall of stooges. Tells Samoa Joe, oh, this is for your safety, a thing that is what a weak champion and a weak wrestler does. They get an inordinate amount of numbers, stack those numbers in the odds against the stronger babyface. That's how they even the odds up. And then they hide behind the numbers and go, now it's finally a fair fight. Now that I have four people, I can finally go and have my fight with you. That's how a wimp heel works. And then Cross continues to talk a whole bunch. And then Samoa Joe looks really dominant in this go-home. When in reality, what needed to happen, especially to make Joe, like, you know, get us behind Joe, is Joe and Cross just needed to knuckle up and, like, you know, slug at each other. Like, this needed to be Karrion Kross has finally met his match, not Karrion Kross is scared. Karrion Kross should be running into this challenge, like, really eager that finally he has someone who can stand toe-to-toe with him instead of, I'm scared that this guy could beat me.
There's no mystery to Karrion Kross. That's the problem is, you know, less is more with him. And although you talking about how Joe looked so powerful gives me pause to think that you're correct. So I'm going to go with you. I think Karrion Kross retains. You know what? In fact, I think he retains, and we may never see him on Raw again. I'll go that far. I think Vince may have given up on him already.
They closed the circuit on the Jeff Hardy storyline, and I mean, it's fine. But they don't actually need to do anything more with him if they don't want to. And you think about, Vince has stars. Cross is really kind of stuck here. Vince has Damian Priest. Vince has his Rick Boogs. Cross doesn't really fit into that puzzle. Like we talked about Adam Cole as the undersized heel. Cross is not as small as Adam Cole, but he's also not as big as Rick Boogs, Matt Riddle, or Damian Priest, or Randy Orton. And it's been hard making him look like a heel who's really dominant on the main roster.
And in what is the most intriguing match in many, many ways, Kyle O'Reilly against Adam Cole in a 2 out of 3 falls match. The first match, straight up rules. Fall number 2, street fight. Fall number 3, steel cage if necessary. Chris, Kyle O'Reilly has to win these matches. Otherwise, he's just been beat by Adam Cole over and over again. And he's a man in search of a feud.
I want Adam Cole to win this feud and then leave the company.
Look, if he's leaving, I still think he does go out on top for some reason just to work people. Because that's what Triple H would do. I mean, this is such a weird thing because O'Reilly has to win this. O'Reilly needs a strong win because all he's been doing is getting punked out by Adam Cole over and over and over again. If you let Adam Cole win this, that you might as well cut Kyle O'Reilly, which may
that's
be in their
not
head.
Fair. That's not fair. There was the time Karrion Kross kicked his ass.
Yes. And I think Finn Balor kicked his ass too, if I recall correctly. Maybe they don't see anything in Kyle O'Reilly. Maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe this build was just a feint. But I don't know. If Adam Cole wins this, that doesn't guarantee to me that Adam Cole's staying. Kyle O'Reilly wins this. It's not a guarantee that Adam Cole's leaving. But who needs this more, Chris? And to me, if Cole's staying, he needs the win. If you're going to do something with O'Reilly, you got to let him win this because otherwise you just got to find another tag team for him to be in. And Bobby Fish ain't walking through that door anymore. And it might be Roddy Strong getting reunited because after Wednesday, doesn't look like the Diamond Mine has much of a future either. So I just don't know here. I'm going to go with they do the right move and they let Kyle O'Reilly win this.
Yeah, I'm going with O'Reilly wins this. I think, boy, it really is a head scratcher what you do with Cole. What do you do with the loser is a real head scratcher because they've really written themselves into a corner where both these guys actually kind of need to win this match.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. They got to get some plans here. They got to get some stables going. They got to get some reshuffling. They got to get these guys out of these feuds because it feels like all these feuds have lasted forever. But that's going to do it. Enjoy your wrestling weekend. I already have. I don't have to watch either of the pay-per-views for me to be happy with this weekend because I'm very happy that AEW is an exciting promotion to watch, including Dark and Dark Elevation, which I also watched this weekend because I didn't watch a lot of WWE. That said, I am Jeff Hawkins. You can follow me at CrapGame13. He is Chris Novembrino. He can be followed on Twitter at DWATG. The guy that did a guest shot for the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so of this show, his name's Rob McCarron. He created the show. You can follow him at your own peril at Rob from Indiana, or you can just follow the show at Shake Them Ropes. I will not misnumber this episode because I'm not putting numbers on episodes anymore because wrestling has made me excited and I'm no longer retiring at 500. But anyways, Chris has a podcast of his own that he does on political matters. It is called Don't Worry About the Government, thus the DWATG. He is going to tell you about it now.
That's right, Jeff. It's me, Kenny.
Oh, Kenny is going to tell us about it. Kenny's an old school Whig who believes in the power of legislatures and... Yes.
I have very esoteric views, largely informed by political documents that I haven't read very well. All right, Candy. All right, chill out. When did you get that new voice? It's kind of grating. And Don't Worry About the Government can be found at don'tworry.tv, patreon.com/DWATG on the show that we're going to be taping here tomorrow afternoon. So if you get up and watch Shake Them Ropes like Saturday morning, you want to get a question in, by all means. We're going to be doing Afghanistan, obviously. We'll be getting down and dirty into the down and dirty over there, as well as the other news in the week. So check that out over on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. That's right. Shut up.